Hello, this is Mike Harbath with this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. We are the world's premier growth strategy and M&A advisory firm servicing IT services companies. With me today is my partner, Matt Lockhart. Matt, welcome.
Hey, Mike, how's it going? We're a little shorthanded today because the standard third leg of the proverbial stool, Ryan, is hopefully in knee-deep powder right now out in Colorado doing a little skiing. But, you know, let's see what we can get done here today, huh?
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah, as those of you that follow our podcast probably know, most of us here at Revenue Rocket love skiing and snowboarding. So this is a great time of year for us, and Brian certainly is off doing a little bit of that today in Colorado. Hey, Matt, I heard some great statistics from our marketing team that, you know, I wanted to share. It appears that as we approach our 100th podcast, that we're also approaching 10,000 downloads of our podcast. And I want to thank everyone for their continued dedication and support of listening to this program.
Yeah, you know, it's really cool that we get consistent feedback, you know, from people that they listen and they take notes and nuggets. And so I think we'll just keep on keeping on, right? And doing our darndest to provide value through this format. You know, one of the things that we like to say is it's a great drive time, right? You know, we try to keep these around 20 minutes or so. So it's a great drive time activity or maybe treadmill, you know, listen you know, it's just great to chat about what's going on in this super growing marketplace. And I think we got a great topic today talking about inorganic growth strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what best-in-class firms do, is have a consistent sort of M&A inorganic growth strategy. We all, you know, we've talked quite a bit, you know, over our time here doing our podcast about, you know, the value of organic growth strategy and how we implement it through our program called SVP and what we recommend. But today we're going to dig in a little bit on, you know, having an ongoing buy-side inorganic strategy and having it be in place is why that's super important. And so, Matt, maybe you can kind of kick us off a little bit on your thoughts about that and some of your personal experiences that you had as an operator. I think the audience would enjoy to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think it's... I do think that it is what best-in-class firms do. You know, let's talk about some of the, you know, sort of guiding principles as to why an inorganic growth strategy. Well, and maybe we'll back up and just do a definition. Organic growth strategy is the work that you're doing on your own through your sales and marketing, as well as overall, you know, value creation that you're doing, working within your team, and getting better and getting more customers and extending your marketplace. But it's all the work that you're doing internally. That's organic growth strategy. And I know this is kind of 101 stuff, right? But inorganic growth strategy is looking at acquisitions as a means to creating more value in your firm and growing your business. And so some of the things that we always looked at previously, and I think that it holds true, is that you're looking at it as a means to extend your marketplace. That could be geographically, that could be vertically, and just having more reach into the marketplace in general. And looking at acquisitions as a means to doing that, you know, can certainly make sense. Additionally, you may be looking at your inorganic growth strategy to bolster and round out and or add to your overall offerings, be that product offerings or service offerings. You know, maybe you see some competitive threats where competitors are doing things that you're not doing, and you need to close that competitive gap as quickly as possible. And so looking at acquisitions in an inorganic growth strategy as a means to be more competitive in the marketplace is another, you know, lens to be looking at, right? And then there's a third, and this is, you know, more common today than I think it ever has been. That there's, and we've talked about it previously, there's just, we're out of balance in the supply and demand equilibrium. And what I mean by that is there's not enough talent in, the IT service and or SaaS platform space. You know, there's just not enough people with talent, be it software developers, infrastructure engineers, program managers, everything. And so firms are looking to close the talent gap that they may have in looking at it through an acquisition lens. So those are some of the things that we're seeing today. Mike, what am I missing?
Well, yeah, I mean, I, you know, sometimes you'll hear the term, I want to build a little bit on your comment about talent gap. You know, certainly there's a term that sometimes is thrown around called the acqui-hire, where you essentially are acquiring talent as a predominant focus area for your acquisition, a particular acquisition initiative. But I think more broadly, you know, when you think about acquisitions and, you know, having them line up, you know, we often say, you know, they need to line up strategically, culturally, and financially. Strategically really has a lot to do with that staff and those staff roles. And, you know, maybe a situation where you have a particular role, a senior role or a group of roles that really needs to be filled, right? And you've been struggling to do that on the organic side or through a normal sort of hiring process since, as you know, we sort of remain in this this negative unemployment marketplace for, you know, consultants and IT services executives. And that certainly drives salaries and scarcity, really, of that talent. And, you know, through an acquisition, oftentimes you can sort of plug those gaps, fill those gaps, and turn it into a really strong competitive advantage, not just the you know, call it more an intangible benefit of that acquisition versus the dollars and cents of a particular acquisition. Really have to be weighed in the current market. And I think the smart, you know, sort of back to best in class, operators are thinking about it, in that way. And certainly that's driving a lot of deals. You know, we also mention oftentimes that, you know, we've looked at it this way over the years. You may have heard us talk about this or seen articles and some of the, interviews, that have been done in the press. With Revenue Rocket over the years, that you leave about 50% of your growth potential on the table by not having an active buy-side, you know, M&A effort underway at all times. And that's been, you know, proven out based on not only our own experience over the last 21 years and looking at, you know, these statistics and driving deals for clients, but also in the broader statistic, you know, generally supports that effort. So again, that's back to why, you know, the best firms have this active inorganic strategy being implemented, always are looking for the right transaction, to complement their business. And ultimately they grow a lot faster because of it.
Yeah, totally. You know, and we talk about this ongoing aspect of your inorganic acquisition growth strategy. And it's, you know, I think super important. I mean, look at, you know, just in the past couple of days, one of the big news was that Google is going to be acquiring Mandiant, a cybersecurity information firm. And it's a big deal, like over $5 billion. Well, that doesn't just happen overnight, right? I mean, Google has obviously had that as part of one of their strategic imperatives, and it's within their strategic plan. And, likely they've been making moves, and they have been, obviously, to bolster their overall security posture organically. To meet their strategic objective and their strategic plan, they clearly have always been looking and keeping the potential for an acquisition to be in place. And that, again, it doesn't happen overnight. And so they, on an ongoing basis, have had this as part of their strategy. And, doing buy-side acquisition and thinking inorganically is, it's not easy, right? And it takes time, and it takes a concerted effort over time, which is why we talk about having it as an ongoing, never-ending aspect of one's overall strategic growth goals.
Yeah, for sure. I think oftentimes we'll get a question from a client about, well, that's great, Mike, but how in the heck do you actually execute on that strategy when we're all busy kind of running and growing the business organically and playing a role? And I think, that's a business case for involving an outside advisor. It's a perfect example of where thinking about corporate development, which is what, firms like Google use. They have a corporate development department where they're out looking and cultivating, M&A discussions and ultimately leading to transactions like Mandiant. Whereas a IT services company that may be, a little smaller than Google, how do you execute on that? And essentially what you do is you outsource that function. You outsource that function to a firm like Revenue Rocket. One that can help you formulate the strategy, make sure that the acquisitions align to your all-up growth goals to execute against doing outreach, being able to qualify the companies, being able to bring them to the table, get all of the paperwork, put together, get NDAs signed, kind of move through the conversations, to help get to ultimately, everyone's saying they want to look at a deal, do a valuation, get to a deal per se, and then focus on getting due diligence done so that you know that what you're acquiring is, what that seller says they've got and confirming that it's really the asset quality that you would expect to acquire in your business. And I think in many ways, that frees up business owners and IT services leaders to, execute on a strategy, a real strategy in M&A with a high degree of likelihood for success versus trying to bootstrap it, do it around the edges where, many statistics say you only have about a 1% chance of getting those deals done if you try to roll your own on a inorganic growth strategy.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Mike. I do, you use the term outsource, right, to an advisor, and I think that that's applicable. You're outsourcing aspects of the overall execution of the strategy. You're not outsourcing everything. A firm is going to have to participate. They're going to have the key executives are going to need to continue to play their role in as the strategy evolves, communicating that, in assessing, the priorities for an acquisition, being involved in that. When opportunities come to bear, there's ongoing participation from those firm members. But by partnering, with a best-in-class firm like Revenue Rocket that has all of the capabilities to manage the ongoing execution of the day-to-day, it does allow those key executives to continue to run their business and continue to execute well in their organic, growth objectives. And so I think that's key, but it's not like you can not pay attention, right? You're partnering together to execute well and find more predictable success.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you still have to be engaged and make sure that you're vetting these candidates as someone you can work with. And, you know, frankly, we joke around a little bit around this around here, you know, and not buy a company with someone that you feel you want to back your car over when the deal's done. You want to be able to acquire a company that with staff and leadership that you can work with, where 1 + 1 = 3. And where there is a real potential synergy for going places together that you just can't go apart.
Without a doubt. You know, so let's talk about just some of the, you know, key basics, right? You're going to budget for it. You're going to budget for your inorganic growth strategy in an ongoing operational expense, right? Whether that means you're building a corporate development program internally and staffing that internally, or maybe, you know, you're staffing a key or assigning a key executive as the ongoing, you know, leader, you know, towards the inorganic growth strategy. And then you are working with a firm like ours to help manage the ongoing execution. So you budget for it, and you budget for it on an ongoing basis, right? You're building your team. You know, yes, maybe one key executive has the leadership role, but that's not everybody that will be required as you're moving down the path in acquiring a firm. Who are the appropriate team members from finance? Who are the appropriate team members from HR? Who are the appropriate team members from even marketing, right? And or product development that will have a role in assessing the appropriate opportunities and then thinking about building in the integration plan, right? So you're budgeting appropriately, you're staffing appropriately, you're picking an ongoing partner, you are continually mapping it against your strategic plan, right? And so, which enables the prioritization of what we call the ideal prospect profile. And so there's just this ongoing sense that this is part and parcel to the business, and it's funded appropriately and it's staffed appropriately.
Yep. For sure. I think, you know, the way I would, you know, this may seem like a little bit of foreign territory, particularly if you haven't done M&A deals, or even if you have, you know, sometimes there's some concerns about the challenge of just getting a deal done or integration challenges or, you know, and you might be like, woof, we did that. We're tired. We need to recover. I think certainly being able to make sure your ducks are in a row as it relates to budgeting and financing and strategy alignment and team alignment, once all those things are done, it makes execution on your ongoing M&A effort much easier. And so with that, I think we're going to – what do you think, Matt? Think we should wrap it up today?
Well, I think we're getting close. You know, as you talked about before, more and more people are paying attention. So for whoever's paying attention today, if you think that we're off, we'd love to hear about it. If you think that we're on, we'd love to hear about that too. If you want to talk more in depth in terms of how an inorganic growth strategy can be a huge value creation for your firm, we'd love to talk to you about that. We'd love to put you in touch with others who are doing that successfully. And, you know, let's go out and get it done.
Sounds great, Matt. Sounds great. So I think with that, we're going to tie a ribbon on it for this week's podcast regarding inorganic growth. Make it a great week. Take care.